Welcome to
What's in a Name?
This is
Charlotte Champenois,
Skylar Rushton,
and Devin Moffitt,
bringing you an audio podcast from the heart of Utah Valley.
Hey guys, want to go hiking?
Sure, where?
Squaw Peak.
Where?
Didn't you hear me?
Red flags have been raised recently about the name of the peak of this popular hike in Provo Canyon.
In this episode, we will discuss Utah County's Squaw Peak, the modern efforts to change its name, and the history behind it. In 1849, Fort Utah, in the area of present-day Provo, was constructed by Mormon settlers. Pre-existing Native American tribes were already living in the area, and they were unhappy with the settlers taking their resources. After a while, the Timpanogos Ute tribe already living in the area considered the Mormon establishment an invasion, and the Mormons and the Timpanogos were increasingly hostile towards one another. The ideas of assimilation and colonization for the Native Americans were, in a way, incompatible.
When Old Bishop was killed and thrown into Provo River by three Mormon men in 1849 for supposedly stealing a shirt off a clothesline, the Timpanogos were outraged, and even more so when the settlers refused to hand over the murderers. The animosity culminated in the Battle of Fort Utah in 1850, the largest Indian battle we know of in present-day Utah. An extermination order was issued by a local council to get rid of hostile Timpanogos. A government surgeon decapitated the bodies of some of the Timpanogos who fell in battle and planned to take them to Washington to be examined.
Chief Old Elk and some of his people were tracked to the mouth of Rock Canyon, where some of them, including Old Elk, were killed. According to folklore, Chief Old Elk's wife, who was described by settlers as young, beautiful, and intelligent, fell from the peak of Provo Canyon while trying to escape. Legend says the peak she fell from was named Squaw Peak after her. But is this an appropriate name? Let's now take a look at the actual meaning of the word squaw and what it has come to signify in our day and age.
According to the extensive research done by William Bright in his book, Native American Place Names of the United States, the word originates from two different northeastern Native American tribes, one being the Algonquin and the other being the Iroquoian tribe. In the Iroquoian language, the word refers to the private parts of a woman. However, in the Algonquin language, the term simply translates into woman. So how did this word become offensive? Bright goes on to mention that over the years, it has come to have a derogatory sense and is now considered offensive by Native Americans. It is widespread in place names throughout the U.S.
According to Chama Jansen, the word was always meant as a slur.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a Native American community that uses that word commonplace to describe females because it still carries that negative vernacular and just a negative connotation for females in general, and so just because of the history of it. It's definitely not a word that the Western or the Midwestern tribes would use in their language. They don't have a word that sounds like that either. If you're wondering like what language is offensive in, it would be English.
Philip Goldring writes that squaw is a word meaning woman in the Narragansett and Massachusetts languages. The term as used in English often conveys racism and sexism. These names are gradually being replaced both in the United States and Canada. Toponyms that simultaneously insult Native Americans and denigrate women are particularly likely to change. With the achievement of the reform of derogatory forms of the word Negro and Japanese, the biggest class of names currently considered to be derogatory is those containing the word squaw.
Utah currently has about 80 places with the word squaw as part of the name, but it's not the only state with this problem. Some other U.S. states have similar initiatives to change place names as well. From Maine, in which one frustrated county simply changed all squaw names to moose in one fell swoop to save on hassle, to Oregon renaming about 80 of its over 100 place names with the S word in it, other states have shown that there is hope. Minnesota has renamed all 20 of their previously offensive place names. And possibly the most famous renaming was in 2003 when Arizona changed the name of a peak formerly called Squaw Peak, just like ours here in Provo, to Piestewa Peak to honor the first known Native American woman to have fallen in battle for the United States.
Similar efforts are being carried out to rename the Squaw Peak located in Provo Canyon.
We recently had the opportunity to speak with Chama Jansen and Terrence Ride from the Repeat Committee here in Provo about the efforts being made to rename Squaw Peak. First off, we wanted to know, how do you go about renaming a mountain? We'll talk you through the 7-step process of renaming a mountain. Step 1. Gain community support and form a name change committee. This involves people first recognizing that something needs to be changed. A key aspect of the committee is to educate people.
I think the success comes when we do public education and we see people who come in that they don't know what to think. You know, they're pretty much neutral. But after being educated, I think they see the need for the name change.
Step 2, choose a name.
In choosing what to call a geographical feature such as a mountain, we can't simply go back to the original name given by Native Americans of the region in past years. This is because, according to Irwin G. Good, a prominent scholar on place names, the original inhabitants had very few geographical names, and practically all of these were descriptive. Mountains themselves were of no practical importance to the Indians and probably had no names. Because of this, choosing a name for a mountain may be more difficult for Native Americans as the idea itself is a foreign one. Another thing to consider is how difficult a proposed name may be for non-Native Americans to pronounce.
Step 3. Submit the proposed name to the State Committee on Geographic Names for review.
This committee receives and votes on all submitted changes to geographical names.
Step 4. The State Committee votes on the name change.
If the vote is in favor of the name change, the State Committee can submit the name change proposal to the federal level. However, if the vote is against the name change, another name must be submitted and the process essentially has to begin anew.
Step 5. The State Committee then submits the proposed name to the U.S. Board on Geographic Names for review.
The name change proposal is reviewed again and can either be rejected or accepted by the U.S. Board on Geographic Names. If rejected, the name change returns to the state level, where a different name must be proposed. But if accepted, that brings us to...
Step 6. The name proposal returns to the State Committee, which votes on it again.
This gives the state one last chance to make sure they want to go through with the name change.
Step 7. If the name change is approved, maps and signs are replaced to reflect the change.
This is when the change is finally made official, but it may still take a while for some place names to disappear in people's memories, and the new place names to be accepted in everyday life.
All changes to any, you know, geographic landmarks within the U.S., need to go through that process. They need to, whether they will vote upon it and whatnot. It can be kind of a tedious process.
Over the last 30 years, 4 or 5 different committees here in Provo have attempted to change the name of Squaw Peak. But, as we've just shown, the process is long and tedious. Currently, the Repeat Committee is in the process of choosing a name. This is no quick and easy task, as they have chosen to run it by Utes, who were native to the area, and other Native Americans currently living in Provo in order to show respect.
As a committee, we haven't suggested any names. We've wanted to consult with the local tribes before we suggested any names because we feel that that's the right path to take since it is named after a Native American woman who did lose her life. And so we are kind of looking at just partnering with them, and hopefully they will, you know, come up with a great name that we can suggest. I'm going to continue it until it happens.
Hopefully the name change happens relatively soon. Hearing place names like Squaw Peak on a regular basis can be detrimental to Native Americans' feelings of belonging, especially to younger children who are more impressionable and want to be accepted for who they are.
My children are you know, forming their identities as Native people. And I want to see positive things, positive identifiers for them that they can identify with as Native people. The name itself is not very welcoming for Indigenous communities. It doesn't say you're welcome here.
Yeah.
It definitely doesn't say that. And so I think changing it to something that that is respectful will be a more, you know, welcoming kind of feeling in the valley for people, for all people.
The current name just serves as a disheartening reminder.
It's just kind of a reminder of, well, guess who won? You know what I mean? Because that's definitely not a name that the Native American community would have chosen to honor a prominent Native American woman.
Yeah, it kind of seems like there's been a lot of trends of just kind of misguided attempts to commemorate Native peoples in ways that are not fully respectful, or I don't think in every instance the naming of a landmark, you know, with that word, with the S word, was them trying to offend the Native peoples. But at the same time, it is I think in a lot of ways very dehumanizing and very limiting in the sense that it's kind of carrying on a tradition of stereotypes and a tradition of homogeneity with the Native peoples. I don't think from what we've found, from what we've discovered, that it was done in a with ill intent. Yeah,
right. Maybe.
Yeah. I think it was misguided though, yeah.
There is a strong correlation between the use of the word squaw and Euro-Native American relationships. Some claim that these are issues of the past and that we've moved on, but offensive names remain, and so do the attitudes of some Americans in regard to Native Americans.
According to Amnesty International, 1 out of 3 Native American women are raped in their lifetime. And then Native American women are 2.5 times more likely to be raped or sexually assaulted than other women.
This next one
is most shocking because it just deals with the state of Utah. So Native American women in Utah only make up 0.01%. So that's like 0.01% of Utah. But yet they make up 27% of the reported rape cases in Utah.
A lot of people try to, you know, attack those statistics, you know, oh, well, you know, it's reservation violence. Actually, no, most of it is, I think it's what, like 70 to 80%?
Yeah, 75% of
committed by white men
is committed by a non-Native.
Non-Native men.
Mm-hmm.
The Repeat Committee is committed to seeing the name change through and are hopeful that this will help change these statistics. But it's hard for a minority group to be heard. They have to deal with various other issues besides just the tedious process of changing a place name.
Lack of respect, lack of public voice, definitely. When you're an underrepresented minority, that's exactly what it means, is your voice isn't heard. Your issues aren't important.
The early European views of Native Americans as a lesser or uncivilized people still influence us today. According to Eric Foner, Native Americans were regarded either as noble savages, gentle, friendly, and superior in some ways to Europeans, or as uncivilized and brutal savages.
It was with these views that places were derogatorily named, and with these views that such names have remained. We haven't fully gotten past American and Native American issues, in part because we've let things like demeaning place names linger. Renaming Squaw Peak can be the beginning, and can positively impact relations with Native Americans everywhere. Minorities in general have a history of being ignored. Let's change that and accept the name place issue as our community's problem.
We know that history can't be changed and what took place can't be undone. Like, you can't change what happened. But what can be changed is how we treat each other from this time forward.
We're hopeful that Squaw Peak in Utah County will successfully be renamed, and soon. But in the meantime, let's just call it Meantime Peak.
Thank you for listening, and thank you to Ben Sound for the wonderful music provided for this podcast. And last but not least, Thank you to Chama and Terrence for joining us.